friends. Thank you for coming along for another ride on Chrishell Counseling's Hope Through the Journey podcast. In our podcast, we provide hope through the challenges, and there are many along our journey of life. We're sharing actionable resources, tips, strategies, and tools that you may need along the way. Our podcast is also designed to help you create the life balance you're looking for. We're working hard to shatter the stigma that's associated with mental health by talking about it in a way that we can all understand. So thank you for choosing to join us and our cause by spending your valuable time here with us. We are so grateful for each and every one of you. I'm your host, Alfred Chrishell Jr., and I'm joined today by my co-host, fellow licensed professional counselor, who also happens to be my big sis, Letty Chrishell. Let, how are you doing? Wait, but before you answer that, I read something recently or saw a video or somewhere about the question I just asked you. How are you doing? And how bad it is, because it's really a non-question. When everybody responds, good, how about you? I mean, they're basically just words that we say that give no real meaning to what's going on in each other's lives. Plus, it doesn't offer any real sincerity in trying to make an authentic social connection. So scratch it, Let. Scratch that question. Let me ask you this one instead.
Okay.
What's been happening in your life lately that's really got you going?
Wow. Just that small change in words takes on such a different meaning.
Doesn't it?
It does. Well, it's like you really want to know what's going on.
I do.
Which in turn makes me really have to think about my response. I can't rely on good. Fine, I'm great. What has got me going? All right, I'm going to go with a birthday I have coming up.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. And how I'm taking stock of what the next chapter looks like. Pretty deep, huh?
And you know, that is deep, Let. And I've got to say, but it's good. It's great to be introspective. I can appreciate
every
that.
Every once in a while, I've got to go there.
Well, yeah, you know, and we all struggle with something, right, at different points of our lives, you know. These are times that I like to call the dips and valleys of life, right? I mean, which is, by the way, is a normal part of life, Let, just like the highs and the peaks that we have in life, right? As a matter of fact, I describe normal life like it's a drawing, right? I'll say to people, like, this is my drawing of normal life, and I'll just put a line in the air that just kind of goes up and then goes down and then goes up and then goes down. Just
and
like
I'm watching him do this
yeah,
with his
this
finger.
Is my drawing right there.
And automatically I go to roller coaster.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it, you know, it's like a roller coaster. I like to call them peaks and valleys,
yeah,
right? Peaks
yeah.
and valleys. But it's our ability to manage both the highs and the lows that makes life more rich and fulfilling. So yes, it's important to check on our mental health always. You know, we've talked a lot on our podcast about the mental health struggles like depression, anxiety, and stress management. We've shared how those issues can impact our lives, right? Now, other issues like suicide ideation and grief and loss, those are also serious and impactful in our lives and can cause emotional distress. And sometimes these are issues that we're experiencing ourselves and we need to seek professional help. I think it's just as important, Let, to address how to help someone who's experiencing some emotional distress, right? Like maybe a friend, a colleague at work, a family member, maybe a neighbor, or just someone on the street that may be struggling in any one of these areas. But for a lot of people, fear kicks in because they don't know what to say or how to respond or how to help or what to do.
You're right, Al. I think the fear that takes over is, what if I say the wrong thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And quite frankly, that's a valid point. But what we have to remind ourselves is that supporting someone and their mental health isn't about fixing the problem. Because
right.
even though we may want to, we can't.
Right.
Supporting yeah. someone is about being there for them,
mm-hmm.
listening to them, and offering help when needed.
Yeah.
The goal is to create a more supportive environment that will foster well-being for all involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. about having empathy for one another. So how do we do that? Well, first and foremost, we need to educate ourselves to
yeah.
understand exactly what those challenges are and how to help.
Yeah, and so let's use this podcast to do just that, right?
All
so
right.
let's talk about some ways to help. One of the first things we need to look at in helping is our communication, what we say, how we say it, all that kind of stuff. But this is where a lot of people get scared, again, because they don't know how or what to say. So in communication like this, we need to make sure the environment is safe, first and foremost. In other words, we don't want to talk about a serious issue in front of other people.
Right.
I mean, they might be in earshot of the conversation, and that's not respectful of the conversation or of the person, right? So we want to move to a location or an environment that's safe for the other person to feel comfortable in the communication. And once that's done, we can start practicing some basic active listening and communication skills. So first, active listening. What does that look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like?
Okay, so when you are actively listening to someone, you're looking at them face to face, eye to eye. You're leaning into the conversation with your body language. Right. You're communicating that you are there for that person.
Yeah, another big part of active listening is that you're not saying anything. You're listening.
Yeah.
You're not interrupting the other person. As far as what to communicate back, as they're sharing their story with you, you're also validating the person without judgment. Now, some examples of this might sound like, I can see how upset this makes you feel. Or, I can see that this is important to you. You might even say, that sounds really tough. How can I help? And in cases where suicide ideation is apparent, a more direct line of question is appropriate, like, are you thinking about suicide? You know, I want to stop here a little bit because we are going to talk about suicide ideation a little bit. So if anybody in the audience is feeling an issue with that, you're more than welcome to press stop and come back to it or fast forward a little bit. But I did want to share a story about Kevin Hines. Kevin Hines, and I know I've shared this with you before, Lett, but I want to share it with the audience. Kevin Hines is an individual who many, many years ago went to the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco and jumped off and lived to survive.
Yeah.
One of the few who lived to survive. And now he goes out and talks to audiences across the world. But in listening to his story, he talks about that morning that he went to jump off the bridge. And he says he woke up, he said goodbye to his dad that morning and went to school for the morning. And then he got on the bus, public transportation. And on his way to the bus, he says, I remember crying on the bus and people were just looking at me and just laughing at me. He continued his bus ride and he got off the bus and he got to the Golden Gate Bridge and he was walking along the bridge. And he even says one lady asked him to take a picture of her on the bridge. Like, yeah, sure. And he took a picture and he had multiple interactions with people on that morning. And he says that no one asked him if he was okay.
Yeah.
No one, not one person said, hey, are you okay? This is what he preaches now. He says, talk to somebody, you know, say, are you okay? Just engage in communication with people because they are, that may be all he needed that day. Right. And he says that if somebody would have said that, I don't think I would have jumped that day. And so it goes to what we're talking about here in how to say what we need to say, how to communicate that, especially in the case of suicide ideation. So,
you know, we mentioned earlier what we can say. Let's talk about the things not to say in these situations. Some things that you shouldn't say, but you've got so much going for you. Or what would I do without you?
Right.
Think of what this would do to XYZ person. You know, think of what this would do to your mom, to your dad. Turn rather to things like, what you're feeling sounds really painful and difficult. I don't have all the answers, but I'm here to listen.
Yeah.
Or, I'm so glad you told me this. Just keep talking.
Yeah. And again, just like the story I just told about Kevin Hines, like sometimes we just need to ask the direct question, are you thinking about suicide? And that is appropriate.
Right. You know, and asking those open-ended questions is so important because it gets the other person to reflect on what is going on and be able to express their thoughts and feelings. Yeah. One of the hardest questions to ask is, are you thinking about suicide?
Yeah. And even in instances where someone is experiencing grief and loss, that's another issue that's difficult to manage. But you don't want to say things like, oh, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Or at least their death wasn't unexpected. Or at least they didn't linger. At least you're young enough to have children or marry again. Any of one of these is just not the right thing to say in that situation. Mm. It's more appropriate to tell them or show them through your actions as well as your words, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. And I think keeping in mind that it's not so much what you say, but what you do that can mean more.
Exactly. Sometimes it's just about being there, sitting with the other person in silence. Your presence can provide comfort. So let's talk about some more practical, everyday things that we can do to show that we understand and support one another.
Right.
We've got to have open communication, and mm-hmm. we've spoken already about what that looks like and sounds like. When someone is sharing their feelings or experiences, it's important to listen without interrupting, letting them share their story.
Yeah.
Another thing to remember is to create that non-judgmental space where they feel safe to express themselves. Everyone's experience is unique, and what might seem small to you can be significant to them.
Good point, Lett. You know, you need to be aware of your feelings and understand that not everyone sees things the way you do. Mm-hmm. So check yourself here too by creating some emotional space for yourself to make room for those helpful words you want to use in these situations.
Validate their feelings. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge their emotions without minimizing them. Remember, their experience is important to them. Yeah. Using those phrases that Al mentioned earlier, like, that sounds really tough, or it's okay to feel that way, can help them feel understood and accepted. Be patient and respect boundaries. Everybody copes differently, so respect their need for space or silence, and let them know you're there for them whenever they are ready to talk.
You know, that as you're talking about these things, I have to say that the other thing that is required in any type of communication is maintaining a calm physiology. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. conversations, especially in these situations that we're talking about today, it is so critical to stay calm, not only on the outside with our body language, but internally as well.
Yeah.
And this can easily be achieved by breathing, maybe box breathing or 4-7-8 breathing, some type of breathing so that I can think clearly and not be fired up and say something I'm going to regret later.
Absolutely. When we talk about being present in the moment with someone, we're speaking about our mind and our body in order to be truly focused on the other person.
Yeah, I think we also need to point out here that helping can be overwhelming. Knowing what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do, it can be mentally exhausting. And so we've got to make sure we're okay and ready to help. And so we each have to be prepared to assess how much we can do to help. I can only do so much, and that's okay. I've got to set my boundaries in determining how much I can help. This is why this information is so important. I believe we have to be prepared for interactions and situations that happen to us daily, but I've got to be in a good place myself, and that includes taking care of myself. Self-care.
So true. As a matter of fact, as we encourage and remind others to maintain healthy habits, it can be difficult getting started, so a possibility is to promote those healthy habits together. Shared experiences, and we've talked about it before, mm-hmm. shared experiences such as taking a walk, cooking a meal together, reading the same book and then talking about it, or practicing those deep breathing exercises that we mentioned earlier can do two things: strengthen your bond and foster better mental health for both of you.
Cannot overstate the importance of self-care here, Lett.
Sometimes people may not know where to turn for help. Mm-hmm. You can also share resources such as articles, podcasts, or local support groups.
Right.
You can say something like, "Hey, I listened to this podcast and it really helped me. I thought maybe you might be interested in mm-hmm. it too." This mm-hmm. shows your support and can empower someone to seek further help if they need.
Excellent. Another excellent point there, Lett. And speaking of resources, I'm glad you brought that up. There's a great resource called Mental Health First Aid.
Oh, yeah.
Great program that helps you learn how to get people to seek out the professional help they might need. It teaches you some of the mental health issues that people experience and more on what to say and how to help. This is a great program. You can look it up by just doing a simple research on Google or Safari or whatever search engine you're using. It's a great resource and I recommend it highly.
And you know, it's so important to normalize seeking help. There's nothing wrong with admitting that we may need that extra help and support. Mm. So if you or someone close to you is facing challenges, don't hesitate to talk about therapy or counseling as a valid option. It's about helping each other be the best version of themselves, and it's okay to get help on that journey.
Absolutely. 100%. Well, great topic, Lett. I'm glad we talked about it. And hopefully we help a lot of our listeners out there to educate them about this important topic so they can help.
Exactly.
All right. We hope today's podcast has been helpful and provided you with some extra confidence in helping others and encouraging those that might need that extra nudge to seek help. Again, we're so grateful that you've taken time out of your day to listen to today's show. If you enjoyed it, please share it with your friends and family. Post the link on social media or forward the link to anyone you feel might need to hear it. Make sure you don't miss a single episode of the podcast by hitting the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. And we'd also appreciate a review of our podcast to get more listeners and to get our message out to everyone. If you want more from us, you can sign up for our blog on our website, chrishellcounseling.com. That's chrishellcounseling.com, and become a subscriber. If you're big on social media, give me a follow on my Instagram account, chrishelljr.alfred. Let where can our listeners follow you on social media?
They can find me on Instagram at Anna Chrishell. Once again, thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast. Take some time to reflect on what we shared today. Did something resonate with you? Remember, practice makes permanent.
Thank you, Lett. Life is a journey, everyone. Thank you for allowing us to share a little piece of our life with you. Remember, you're not alone. We're in this together. We got this. Talk soon.
Bye.